right, people, I need a go no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1068 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, October 15th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider, or you can just paypal.me/geeknews. Pick up Ohanaware as well, gear, cups, mugs, if you're still using mouse pads, shirts, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Been a big, big welcome to the Ohana. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Got a great show lined up for you today. Lots to share, lots to talk about. Want to give a warm welcome to new listeners to the show as well. And really, if you're a brand new listener, all you got to do is visit geeknewscentral.com to subscribe to the show and the newsletter on the website. It's real easy to do so. Just get there, click on the iOS or podcasting, the podcast iOS app. I didn't even say that right. Click on the iOS link or the Android link. And if you have a podcast application that subscribes, that basically supports one-click subscribe on Android, it'll load the app. If not, we'll take you to a page that has a number of apps that do. Of course, you can go old school way and get the show via email. Or just if you have another podcatcher that you're using on your desktop, whatever, you can subscribe via RSS. Lots of options on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, our whole family of content over there. We'll talk about that here in a second. But you can always email me here at the show at geeknews@gmail.com. You can also reach out via Twitter at geeknews. So either way is great. Of course, you can follow on Google+, on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku, Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo. All you got to do is tell Alexa to listen to the Geek News Central podcast, and Alexa will do that for you on the Amazon Echo. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher or on Blueberry.com. And, of course, we've got a family of partner shows here at the network as well. The New Media Show, which is hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee. We've got a great guest coming up this coming Saturday. We've got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, who just returned from overseas. As a matter of fact, one of his episodes got lost in a hard drive crash, so we're trying to deal with that today. So he had to re-record an episode. That just is very, very painful. He has it on backup, but he just flew in last night, so he's just got to get into recovery mode. But we got Mr. Jamie Davis with Health Tech Weekly. We got Todd Ani with Elder Divide, and we got the great team over at No Better Than Average, Jacob and Jeff, and everyone's putting out great content. Of course, we got the Pro Gear site as well at progear.guru. So this show, of course, sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been here a very, very long time, taking care of us and taking care of you and giving you great deals on GoDaddy products and services. Over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Lots of savings, 30% off, 99cent.com. So we've got basically a dollar deals where you pay a dollar a month for economy hosting, website builder hosting, or managed WordPress hosting for a total, grand total of $12 for a year. And the best deal is you get a free domain with any one of those services when you use my promo code. So it's key that you go over to geeknewscentral.com, and if you're looking for a promo code, CJCGNC30, CJCGNC99, CJGNCGOT, CJCGNC1HS, CJCGNCWP1, those all correspond to codes on the website that have hyperlinks attached to them. you can click on the link and go over to GoDaddy and save a buttload of money. We want you to use all those codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And GoDaddy, thanks. I want to thank them for being a sponsor here. And I tell you, it's already middle of October. And you have like 8 or 9 weeks before Christmas. So what that really means is you got to think of something cool this year. You got to think of something unique. All right. So each and every, you know, there's what is new gadgets this year that you can get? You know, a new phone, a new tablet. You know, what do those last? A year? Buy your spouse, buy your kids, buy them all a domain name, or buy them a series of domain names. Set them up a website. Set up something cool. It's so inexpensive to get started today online. This is a gift that will pay back major dividends years from now. So, you know, my daughter right now, we're doing a lot of talking. She's trying to figure out what she wants to do. And I'm trying to, you know, entice one of the two older ones to come to the chair and start making a show. We're getting close, talking about ideas. So, you know, you have to get your kids creating content, get them online, they just don't have to post stuff in Facebook and Instagram and all those other places. You know, and it's something where, you know, the space is changing. Let them become a podcaster, let them do videos that, you know, build a brand, all kinds of cool stuff you can do online today, an online store, you name it, GoDaddy's got it. So definitely check all my codes out, get your family set up, start a business. All the tools are there that you need. I use their Mad Mimi program to do mailing newsletters to people that we associate with our company. And it's fantastic. It gives me all the tracking data, tells me what was effective on click-throughs, all that stuff. So, you know, check them all out over at GoDaddy.com. Okay, so what else is going on here? It's been a weird week. It's been a weird week. I just don't know how to describe it. And I have to be very honest with you guys. I've had a couple of days where I've been frustrated. When things aren't moving along as fast as you want, it's one of those things that just kind of grinds at you, right? And you see things happening, you see announcements being made, and you're like, we have to hurry up, you know, and it's been one of those type of weeks. It really has. And so I don't know what the solution is, except I think tomorrow, Friday, I'm going to sit on my back patio. I am going to break into my humidor, and I think I'm going to pour a sniffer of scotch, and I'm going to get maybe the good stuff out and sit in the back and just try to relax. And that is going to be the priority of the day come close of business tomorrow. It's been one of those weeks, and sometimes you have them, you know. Otherwise, it's been good. I had lots of good business calls, and everything is going on. So, no, you know, I can't complain there. It's just things sometimes just move too doggone slow. I did this afternoon get to see a practice of the Blue Angels. So I had a couple, anywhere basically, the weather was crappy over at Marine Corps Base Hawaii. The ceiling was pretty low, and they were doing their cardinal headings to get all set up to essentially get ready to do their full-on practice tomorrow. I am not going to go over tomorrow, but I wanted to go over a new couple of people that were on the Blue Angels team that I knew when I was active duty, and I wanted to go over and say hello, and I ran into two of the team members. Of course, the two team members I knew were going to be here, got to talk with them for a little bit about their experience of traveling the country and meeting all of you at air shows, and I asked, and I won't say her name because I don't want her to get in trouble, but I said to her, I said, what is your favorite air show to go to? And she says, I like the ones that are away from military bases. I like the ones where we go into the heartland of America, or we go to a place where it's not close to a base. she says the reaction on, you know, when they come to a Marine Corps base, you know, they got so many active duty people there and so many people that are associated with the military. It's kind of like, yeah, you're one of us. You know, even though you're part of the Blue Angels, you're one of us. And, you know, we know you're wearing a special uniform, but you're not special. You know, that's kind of the active duty and officers kind of that, you know, we're still this big team, but when they come to a military base, then maybe they're not as, you know, for a better word, you know, people aren't bowing down as much. But when they go to rural America, you know, they don't have exposure. They don't, you know, there's not military people around except for the team. And there's a little bit of a different reaction they get from the community. And I kind of understood that. I thought that was pretty cool. And she talked about that a little bit. And I mean, it's our last year. And then she's going on to being with the Blue Angels as actually classified sea duty for them because they're gone so much. So she's actually going to be going back to Millington, Tennessee, where there's a training command. And she's going to be training folks in the rate that she is to basically go and pass this knowledge and experience that she's had over the past number of years. So very, very exciting to see her going to go do an instructor tour. And it's one of those things, it's like a check in the blocks for your career. So I had a great time hanging out with the two of them that was there. But we got to see him practice a little bit, so that was fun. But that was kind of the extent. Everything's been kind of calm around here, so that's good. So nothing fantastic. But one thing I am thinking about, and as I was talking to Don today, we're going to order HD point tilt zoom camera that is controllable so that when we go to CES, we might be able to get away with a, and this thing snaps so fast that we might be able to have a little better control on camera dynamics and be able to have a little more variety of shots. So I'm going to be ordering one of those cameras. I'm going to dip into the budget a little bit, into my discretionary spend for this year. I'm going to buy one of those point-tilt zooms. Hoping to get away with one. Don't want to have to buy two, but we're going to definitely go with one and see how that works out and go from there. But another thing that I was talking with my wife about, this chair that you guys have seen for many, many years is starting to sag. It doesn't want to, by the time the show's over, I will have sunk a couple of inches. And you guys know how it is when you get a chair that's starting to sag. It's just at that point, it's, you know, not too long before you need to think about replacement. But the arms on it are taped up and it's, you know, it's in relatively bad shape. I spend hours in this thing. And my wife says, don't you think it's time for a new chair? And I said, well, I want the same exact one. I want the same chair. I want the next model. I've had it in here for years. Probably will be, there's a place here in Hawaii that carries them. I'll probably be looking at them. So maybe there'll be a new color of a chair here in the studio come next week. But we will see if I can actually find one. So yes, that's the excitement here, talking about a stupid chair. All right, lots to get into tonight on the tech side. And if you're watching live, thanks for being here. Want you to, as a reminder, there is a chat room at live.geeknewscentral.com. And another good thing is the time change is coming up. So those of you on the East Coast, I will be a little bit closer to your time zone. And actually, I wasn't going to let the cat out of the bag, but I might as well. I'm going to be going on an extended road trip, and it's going to start just before Halloween. I think I actually fly out. Let me look at the calendar here. I actually fly out the week of the 26th, but I leave sometime in the middle of the week. But I'm going to be out. I'm actually going to be throughout the United States for 3 weeks in November, all the way up to November 20th. So it's all going to be all road shows, no live stuff. So I'm going to be doing complete audio only for at least, let me count here, probably as many as 7 episodes. So that's huge. So I'll get more into the details and what's going on a little bit later as we get closer. But Definitely going to be on the road for at least 3 weeks, and looking forward to being out and about. A little bit long, but necessary. So anyway, that's for here, but it'll be audio only for 3 weeks. So those of you that are on video, be prepared for the switchover, okay, with no video shows for at least 3 weeks. And so be aware of that, okay? And those of you that are on YouTube now, thanks for being here. All right, let me go ahead and bounce into, like I said, into the content, chit-chatting too long here. And let me load up the first thing. And I have to congratulate Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chattanooga created America's first gig city 5 years ago with its citywide gigabit, 1,000 megabit per second internet service. Today, they announced they're taking ultra-fast broadband connections to an even higher level with the addition of 10 gig service throughout Chattanooga. The city announced today that it is now offering 10 gig service to any, and it's EPB, I think that's something Power Board, whatever that company is that manages that, 170,000 customers. A 10 gig service will be offered to any residential customer, listen to this, for $299 per month compared to $69.99 for the current gig service. Now, holy cow. So Chattanooga appears to be the third city to offer such a service, but it's by far the largest. Vermont Telephone offered 10 gig service to only 18,000 customers in June of this year, and Salisbury, North Carolina offered the service to its 33,000 customers in September. So EPB and the city leaders are announcing the new service during Chattanooga's Startup Week, which is trying to capitalize on Chattanooga's faster broadband connections track to nurture more tech startup business. So Comcast 2 gig service called Gigabit Pro is being offered initially for $159 a month. So, you know, this announcement comes 3 months after Comcast sought to race past their connection in offering 2 gig. This is beautiful. And they're not going to be ready to, they're not even offering that yet. So, Comcast Gigabit Pro is available only to customers within one third of a mile of Comcast fiber network, and consumers pay hookup fees and sign a contract. EPB says its new 10 gig service, like its other broadband options, is available anywhere in its service region, does not have an installation fee, and doesn't require a contract. They've been working with Alcatel Lucent to develop equipment for the faster internet speeds. And this is big. Now, EPB debuted high-speed telecom service in 2010 after issuing more than $200 million bonds to finance a fiber optic network throughout its 600-mile service territory to help the electricity suppliers install a smart power grid. EPB benefited from a $111 million federal stimulus grant to help pay off the smart grid. So they had a little Kickstarter there back in the days, but 10 gigs. Chattanooga, Tennessee. I had a bad experience in Chattanooga. Got off the wrong exit. This is back in the way early 80s, maybe 84. And I'm sure Chattanooga's changed a lot, but this is huge, huge. If I had a tech startup and it was anywhere within like a 5-state radius of this city, I think Chattanooga would be the place. I don't know what the tax base is in Tennessee, you know, how much property tax and all that stuff. Maybe we have some Ohana members that can tell us, you know, where they rank. But this has to be an economic boom thing for Chattanooga. Has to be. It has to be drawing, you know, folks that are bandwidth hungry into the city. You know, $299 may sound like a lot to all of you, but I, you know, my bill right now, my total internet bill every month, oh my God, I'm paying probably close to $400, $500 a month for everything that I, including the mobile stuff. And I get my cell phone. Raw Voice provides my cell phone, so I don't pay for that. I'm talking about MiFi and everything else. So it's just insane. It really, really is. Okay, I'm going to talk about a topic that is guaranteed to piss at least 50% of you off. But I just kind of have to. And let me preface this by saying, and I expect to hear some feedback from this. It amazes me how we have a double standard in this country. And I know this won't be the only case. And this is a United States centric topic. And I have to go back and I have to talk just a little bit about, you guys all know, you know, I did 24 years in the Navy. I had a great job. With that job came an extreme amount of responsibility to protect information that I was exposed to. So I'm very sensitive, even to this day, on that type of topic and material, and making sure that the agreement that I signed, I never violate, even all these years later. I knew the rules of the game. I even knew and know the rules of handling even what would be considered general traffic or unclassified traffic, emails and so forth. And it astonishes me the number of people. Well, let's go back. We've had a lot of people, rightfully so, charged, convicted, do jail time for minor offenses and security lapses. You know, you look at Snowden. If he comes back to the United States, they're gonna grab him up. They're gonna prosecute him. He'll spend a long time in a cell. No matter what you think, that's what's gonna happen, unless the election coming up, someone gives him a pass. But I don't think that's gonna happen. So he's gonna be in Russia for a long time. Now, that being said, he mishandled and revealed and disclosed stuff that he agreed not to, while at the same time, other individuals have done time in jail for inappropriately handling one email, one, have went to jail or spent tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to not go to jail, but yet lose their job, lose their access to information that they were be responsible for. All these folks been prosecuted, all of them, without merit. If someone was caught and violated and did something wrong, they were punished. Yet we have an American public right now willing to give an existing presidential candidate a pass on gross security violations doing something that any other person would already be in jail. Told you I was going to piss 50% of you off. I don't even, why? Why does she get a pass? Now, if this was someone from another party, and I know there's been instances, I was talking to Colin Powell and so forth, who had his own personal email server and stuff as well. And that's not excusing that at all. But when you hear, and again, I'm only hearing what's being talked about on the news and in New York Times, where 400 pieces of content should have never been on that box. And then we hear that her sysadmin let V and C and RDP exposed on that box. I don't understand why there's a double standard. And maybe ultimately there will not be. But I guarantee you, to a person that listens to this show, to a person, if you or I have done what has been done, we would be facing serious, serious jail time. And I just don't get it. Why are they, and so I mean, oh, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Bullshit. It's a big deal. It's a big, 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 big deal. If you take the politics out of it, if you just take the politics completely out of it, and look at on the basis of what was done, what was tried to be covered up, what was tried to be erased, allegedly, does that not as a, and those of you that are listening to this show from the United States, does that not sit you back in your chair? And you're like, doesn't that make you mad? Even if you love that person as a candidate, doesn't it just make you angry? It can't be a cover-up. It can't be a grand conspiracy. She had a server in her house. Everyone will make excuses. They'll tell me all kinds of bullshit about this and that and this and that. Oh, it's not a big deal. I can hear it already. I can hear the emails. If this was a Republican that had the same issue in the news, we'd be talking about the same exact thing on this show. It just drives me crazy. As a geek, as someone that had prior experience and prior access and knew the rules, you just, and everyone else that's listening has ever had to abide by those type of rules, you know what I'm talking about? Because I don't even think I can talk about the rules. But it's pretty obvious that you don't take information on a personal non-government device and have a server in your house. I care who you are. Oh, it's no big deal. We deleted 40,000 emails. Not a big deal. Well, it's no big deal. Those, you didn't need to see those. Well, why were they even there in the first place? I have two mail accounts, geeknews@gmail.com. That is where I do stuff for this show. And I have ceo@rawvoice.com. And guess what gets done over there? Business. I don't do personal stuff on ceo@rawvoice.com. I do personal stuff at geeknews@gmail.com. We don't have a rule in place saying I can't because, you know, we're a corporation. We're not dealing in, you know, national stuff. We're dealing in podcaster stuff. And if I've made you angry tonight, I want you to tell me why I'm wrong. Why I am absolutely wrong. Please, I want to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Take the politics out of it. And I'm leaving the politics out of it. Take the politics out of it and tell me why she gets a pass. That's all I want to hear. I want to hear from you why. If you can honestly tell me why she should get a pass and other people won't. I'm telling you, for the same exact stuff, other people have went to jail. Went to jail. and it was you or I that had done that, we would be going to jail and lost our livelihood, lost our access. Okay, I'll get off my rant. And I hope half of you just didn't unsubscribe. But I'm just, you know, it just, it's been bugging me for months. And, you know, during the debate,
we're tired of hearing about Gmail.
Because they want it to go away. They want it to be hit up. They want it to be covered up, swept under the rug. Oh, we didn't do anything, bad. If she wasn't running for president or she wasn't Hillary Clinton, we'd have never heard it in the news. She'd already been prosecuted and in jail. That's what would have already happened. You wouldn't have known. There are two standards in America today. The haves and the have-nots. Okay. Whew. Probably going to be in trouble for talking about that. If you're brand new to the show, welcome to Geek News Central. I don't get on those type of rants a lot, but once in a while we have what I call soapbox time. And I'm an equal opportunity basher. All right? It's a tech show. I'll try to keep it a tech show. All right? All right, RIAA teams restraining order against Aris. Here's another one of my favorite groups. The RIAA has attained a temporary restraining order against fledgling music application Auroras. Creator Andrew Sampson is now forbidden from enabling, facilitating, encouraging, or promoting infringement of the plaintiff's labels, copyrights. That includes any distribution of the Auroras software in any form. Well, they want to get a bunch of stuff happening in court. They're already after $3 million in damages. But, and I don't know how long the site's going to be online because I think they have a court hearing on the 28th of October or something to that effect. But the software, which I don't even know what does at this point, is still available over at auros.me. There's a download for Windows, for OS X, for Linux, both 32 and 64-bit version. And anyway, I guess it allows you to search and be able to get access to music. And I think all of this is probably unlicensed. I don't think you can download them. I don't think that appears to be the case, but I think you can play them on the website. And I might be wrong. I have not loaded the software, but auroras.me is still online. But the RIAA is, and their labels are out for blood. Out for blood. Didn't waste any time. Again, one of my more favorite agencies, the RIAA, living up to their reputation for sure. Over on Gizmodo, and I heard about this a couple of days ago, and I think all of us that are geeks and look to the stars and wonder if anything is out there, scientists are a little bit freaking out. The science world in a bit of a tizzy this week about the supposed discovery of an alien megastructure. You heard about this? Well, Kepler has been looking at a strange star located about 1,500 light years from here, and it has scientists in a tizzy. They say that the star, dubbed KIC 8462852, appears to be surrounded by a strange mess of objects, compelling scientists involved in the hunt for extraterrestrial intelligence to get a closer look. A likely explanation for the anomaly is a massive and irregular cloud of debris left over from a celestial collision. But Jason Wright, an astronomer who studies exoplanets and astrobiology, suspects it may be a Dyson sphere, aka an alien-built megastructure consisting of solar panels placed in orbit around a star. Now, there's a very good write-up on Slate. And they say the star's behavior is very difficult to explain. And it is clear something very weird is happening out there. And, but this is the first time scientists, through looking basically for shadows, and that's what they've been using Kepler for, to look for shadows, is they're seeing too many shadows, and a lot of shadows that's dimming the star at irregular levels. And they are, they're excited. Now, 150 light years away is a long ways away. But what they're going to do is it's gotten so much attention is that they're going to start pointing some telescopes directly at it and radio telescopes to look for happy days are here again. They're looking for, you know, ET television, radio signals, you know, whatever it may be. So that's what they're going to do. And if they get a little more information, they'll go up in the priority list. And so I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about this. But, you know, scientists get excited pretty easily, just like the rest of us. And we all are hoping to find ET. That's the goal, right? We, you know, come on. If you're a true geek, that's what, you know, we want them to come down and say, take us to your leader. And then we're going to eat you. No, we want them. We want to make sure we're not alone out here in this thing. And we want to make the jump. You know, make the jump from, earthbound to, travel the universe. That's if you're listening to this show, you want that to happen. I would assume if you've been listening this long, I'm a science freak. I don't understand it all, but I think it's cool. At the same time, I had a UFO experience. I've told that story many times, two of them. So, and for those of you who knew, there was no probing, no capture, nothing like that, okay? But I did read something interesting, though. As a kid, have you ever had, sleep paralysis where you wake up and you're so scared you can't move? Well, I think I read something the other day about sleep paralysis that affects a number of people. I think I've actually experienced sleep paralysis before in many, many years. It hasn't happened in, 30, 40 years, maybe more. But I think when I was a kid, I actually experienced sleep paralysis a couple of times. But, that's here and there. That was one of those articles where I was like, whoa, that's cool. Let me read about this. But we've all been looking to the sky for a long time to see if... But my sleep paralysis did happen around the time of my first UFO observation with my family. But anyway, that's getting a little too deep here. Again, no probing. So good. Kepler's making us have some fun with topics. At the same time, there's a giant hole in the sun. It's as wide as 50 Earths. So don't see this very often. I don't remember this type of reporting happening. So it's getting, scientists are all abuzz here because the sun has sprung a leak. There's a hole in the topmost layer of the sun in its magnetic field the size of 50 Earths. It's letting loose an ultra-fast solar wind that has kicked off several nights of auroras down on Earth. So if you're in the northern hemisphere, definitely look at that. But the gap in the sun's magnetic field lets out a stream of particles traveling at up to 500 miles per second, kindling a days-long geomagnetic storm upon hitting Earth. So coronary holes like the ones that materialize are normally formed over the sun's poles in lower altitudes, more often when the sun is at less active in its 11-year cycle. The areas are with the sun's outermost layer called its corona, which are lower density and cooler. That plus the weakened magnetic field lets the plasma charged particles that make up the corona stream out more easily. So anyway, that's the science behind it. But kind of cool if you think that there's like a hole in the Earth. Makes you go, there was an interesting article on The Verge talking about Microsoft, Intel, Dell, Lenovo, and HP, who gathered together to host a webcast introducing a major new advertising campaign for the personal computer. It will mark the first time that the five biggest names in the PC industry have come together around a single unified message to consumers. And now is exactly time for unity, enforced by perpetual slumping sales, but also catalyzed by the perfect alignment of a new Windows release, a new generation of processors, and an always crucial holiday shopping season. But we often know that marketing isn't enough. Many of you have made the jump to Mac. Lots of cool PCs are coming out. A Toshiba one with a 4K display. LG has got one that's really light. So there's lots of options out there. But my favorite right now remains the Dell XPS line. I'm in love with that PC in a big, big way. I use it 90-95% of the time, much more over my Mac Pro. I just love that computer. Yeah, so it's got a lot of power. It's small. It's light. It travels. It's fantastic. But I think Dell set the mark with the XPS 13-inch laptop. And I think what we're going to see is now we're going to start to see companies investing in the look and the feel so that it's got that sex appeal to it. And when a PC has a sex appeal and it feels nice and it's light and it's got a beautiful screen and, you know, great keypads and the mouse, everything, when that's all aligned, that will sway someone regardless of operating system. And that's what Mac has had for many, many years, is that sex appeal. You know, when I open up my Dell XPS now, I get double looks all the time. People say, that's not a Mac Mini, and no... an iMac? No, it's not. Or Mac Air, excuse me. And so it's, you know, it gets the looks. People come over and touch it and feel it, and you get my drift. So exciting. But, you know, many times, too, we're in the boat now. My wife needs a laptop about 2-3 times a month at the most. The rest of the time, she's on her tablet. She does everything on there. Matter of fact, it drives me crazy because I'll go over and she'll be working on a tablet and she'll be working in a spreadsheet. And I'm like, why are you working on in Google Docs doing a spreadsheet with your tablet? It would be much faster to be on a desktop or be on a laptop and, you know, doing this work. And so it's just easier. So the question we have to ask is, how many of you have spouses or even yourself has made the jump and you're not even using a computer anymore? How many of you made the jump completely to a tablet? I'm not ready to get there, but I use my tablet a lot. So, but again, I'm using an iPad. I'm not using an Android device or a Windows tablet. So, you know, I kind of go both ways here. All right, Amazon is committing. So anyway, love to hear your guys' thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what your thoughts are and where you guys are in your PC purchasing processes as we're approaching the holidays. All right, Amazon commits to adding captions to over 190,000 movies and TV shows. So they're going to be spending some bank here to do that. And that'll make the folks in the hearing impaired community happy. And this is largely because the National Association of the Deaf have reached out and asked Amazon to do this. So very, very cool. And probably what they're going to do is probably going to sue them if they didn't. All right, now Siri or Google Now can hear silent commands from as far as 16 feet away. So there's some sort of a hack out there now. If you have your phone plugged into a set of earbuds, somehow that line becomes an antenna in which a hacker could send a... Oh, that's funny. A hacker could send a remote command using some off-the-shelf tools. So it was revealed at in an event recently. But so my advice is, keep your earbuds unplugged when you don't need to. All right, New Horizons scientists published the first scientific study of Pluto. I will not go into this detail. I have this link up in the show notes. I did peruse it a little bit, didn't go too deep. A lot of it's a kind of a recap of some of the stuff we've already heard, but there are a few new tidbits in there for you to want to go over. That'll be up in the show notes. And one thing that has been picked up upon that I thought was interesting was that news organizations are saying, okay, now that the president and the administration doesn't want to force Apple to decrypt their mobile phones, why are they backing off? TechDirt says, if the NSA is not complaining about encryption, it's likely because it already found a way in. I'm like, that's interesting take on things. So if they don't, say, oh, don't worry. We don't need to get into your phones. We don't need a back door. Makes you go, oh, scratch your chin a little bit. Oh, yeah, okay. So where there's no smoke, there's a great deal of fire, which can neither be confirmed nor denied, according to this article in TechDirt. So I thought, that's kind of funny. Kind of an interesting move. So who knows? Really, who knows? All right, Verizon tries to avoid building more fiber by redefining the word pass. Now, check this out. When New York City officials accusing Verizon of not finishing required fiber construction, the telco is claiming that it doesn't actually have to install fiber throughout the city. A 2008 agreement with the city that gave Verizon a cable television franchise required the company to pass all households with fiber by June 30th, 2014. Verizon is claiming it has passed all buildings but can't get into all of them due to disagreements with landlords. However, Verizon says its fiber doesn't actually have to pass in front of a building in order for them to be passed. So Verizon rep stated at a hearing today that Verizon has unquestionably met its promise to pass all households in the five borough area, which essentially means extending the fiber so that a building could theoretically then be connected to the network. As one council member pointed out, that's like installing water pipes, but not hooking them up to individual apartments. The water is flowing on by, but no one can actually drink it. Verizon goes on to say, don't you love lawyers? We consider to be pass if we are within the realm of substantial fiber placement. Service said when passed on how the term is actually defined. I'm not a lawyer, but it's that. Oh, no. One of the council members said this. They really worded this wrong. So essentially, Verizon has said, if we're close, we've got it done. They didn't define the word pass in the agreement. So leave it to Verizon to find a way around it. And obviously the city council was very disappointed and they went on to, complain and, but anyway, Verizon definitely doesn't want to build their fiber network out. Maybe Google will come in and pass by the house. Any of you use Dropbox? Dropbox has introduced a new collaborative writing tool. It's called Note. So it is now available via, if you're a Dropbox user. I'm not very familiar with, and I use Dropbox like once a year. I don't really use this service very much. But they've got this new Note service with Dropbox. And it's a way for you can, just kind of like Google Docs, I guess. Vint Cerf is asking and has worked with, not worked, but gotten hundreds of researchers to call on the FCC to mandate open source router firmware. The FCC today is inviting comments on its plan to require router manufacturers to, quote unquote, lock down device firmware as a means of ensuring that consumer devices cannot operate in certain frequency bands. So now a group of more than 250 researchers and developers, including the Internet's grandpa, Vint Cerf, have sent the FCC a letter proposing an altogether different set of rules that would actually mandate open source firmware while simultaneously protecting the FCC's original goals, There are multiple reasons. The letter argues why open source firmware updates are a necessary part of securing the internet against attack. So basically, they're trying to say, listen, the router software needs to be examined. It needs to be able to lock the frequency downs as you've requested. But at the same time, we want to make sure these routers can be updated if needed, or they can have new firmware loaded to basically protect the owner of the router from being hacked internally. So anyway, link can be up in the show notes, but if the FCC has their way, they're going to be locking routers down. There's a pretty cool, short video from DJI Factory showing basically the construction of some drones. Apparently, they were running the camera and had a SD card in the machine, and then when they shipped it, they left the SD card in there. And when the owner got it, he was able to preview the assembly video that was being done on his camera. So it's very short, about 40 seconds, but it does show the folks in the factory hard at work. Moving on here, Windows 10. Microsoft is trying really hard, sometimes way too hard, to get you upgrade to Windows 10. I've got one machine that upgraded to Windows 10. It doesn't like it. It doesn't work right. So I reverted to back to Windows 7. I'm happy as a clam. But every day, I get the little pop-up window that says, your PC is ready for your free upgrade. I don't want the upgrade. I want the download removed from the hard drive. But you can't. Some folks are actually being forced to do the update. The actual machines are saying, okay, we're rebooting in like 60 seconds. So there's people not happy with Microsoft at this point for this shove this Windows 10 version down your throat. There's another security flaw. This should not come as a surprise, and it affects all versions of Adobe Flash. It is time to kill Flash. It is just time. So they're going to be releasing out of cycle an update, and it will be out very, very quickly here to address the software plugins vulnerability, again, which could crash and potentially allow an attacker to take control of a system. The bug was discovered earlier this week by researchers at Trend Micro. Flash is just, it never ends with Flash. Niantic is a company that I've been playing a game called Ingress for a couple of years. I'll have a lot of fun. Join the resistance. Do not join the enlightened. If you do, please join the resistance if you play Ingress. But anyway, Niantic has raised $20 million from Google. They got the money from Pokemon Company and Nintendo, and they're going to be making a new game. The company announced a $20 million Series A, and so I guess they're going to make a game called Pokemon Go. So we'll see what they come up with here. But again, these folks are, you know, I hope that doesn't mean Ingress is going on the back burner, but I'm glad they got money to continue to roll operations. They were spun out of Google here recently, so it's nice to see Google is reinvesting in them still. All right, Skype is embracing group chat. I guess they're probably trying to offset the folks that are starting to use Blab. But Skype has embraced group chat to let anyone join a conversation on the web. You don't have to have Skype loaded anymore. They can just send you a link and load a web page, and you can join the conversation. So very exciting here. According to environmentalists, scientists detected a disproportionate number of methane bubble plumes off Washington and Oregon's coast. You know, we've been hearing about methane being released in Alaska and in Siberia and all these dire warnings because of the rising global temperature that this is going to be causing, you know, methane release. Now, while I'm not poo-pooing that per se, but they're saying that ground underneath oceans, which is frozen, which I didn't know was possible, is apparently releasing methane gas. So they've detailed over 160 bubble plumes observed over the past 10 years. An inordinate number of these plumes are observed at critical depths where frozen methane ice or hydrate decomposes on account of warmer ocean temperatures. So apparently it gets the water that at the deepest depths are such that it's causing the these hunks of ice to unfreeze. A little weird. But that's what they're saying. Or the Alienware Steam Machine. Wow. Huge review on Engadget. This looks to be a potential new device for all of you. I don't know what it cost, but based upon the review, people are pretty excited about this thing. Again, the Alienware Steam Machine, family and gaming PC for the living room. Those of you that are gamer fanatics, just link up to this. I'm not even going to try to go through this particular article. Sadly, the Apple Store's biggest fan, Gary Allen, has passed away from brain cancer. He left us at the early age of 67. Many of you probably do not know who Gary Allen is, but Allen traveled the world to be among the first in line when a new Apple Store opened. He detailed over 140 store openings worldwide, but hardcore Apple fan, but he has left us. Link will be up in the show notes. The IAB, and I'll have a disclosure here, my company is a member of the IAB. We work on the podcast committee, podcast measurement committee, podcast standards committee at the IAB. But there is a very interesting article for those of you that are, it covers the topic about ad blockers. And this is a pretty frank article. And it starts out by the IAB saying, "We messed up. As technologists tasked with delivering content and services to users, we lost track of the user experience." It's a pretty frank article. But I don't know if it's going to go far enough to convince companies that they need to change. But there is a tech lab, and I'm going to try to join that particular group because I'm a member. I can ask to join committees and see if I can get in there and find out what they're really talking about. So this is kind of an interesting development from the IAB. But it's on their public website. I'll have a link up for it for all of you to read. But they're worried, and it sounds like the members are worried too. You know, we're not in display advertising. We don't worry about it. We do advertising within shows of podcasts. So, but there is still a huge desire, even on the podcasting side, there's a huge desire to match me to the content that I listen to in my ears. They want to be able to target me. And they haven't been able to do that yet in podcasting. They're trying. Just be aware they are trying. And it's a very slippery slope. And it's not fully possible. The iTunes and Apple doesn't provide any play information back. No demographic data. So it all has to be generated externally if they want it. Not to say that it can't be done, but up to this point, it's not being done. But that's the golden goose that lays the egg. And it's the same issue that the digital advertising folks had. And I'm like, do we really want to go down that road? I'm not sure that we do. I think I know this show's demographic. Most podcasters know their show demographic. They know who listens to the show. But the way advertising is today, that's not good enough. They want it deeper. But I think for this medium to work and to be able to reach everyone in a show and provide the great advertising, something that fits with the show and I'm comfortable with sharing with you, I don't think we need to go that deep where I know, all the Ohana, digitally. I know you already, your ears right now are on your screen. So that's enough for me. But the advertisers, they want more. And I'm not comfortable in giving them more. What happens is, and here's the inside skinny, is that when we can't give them that deeper deeper data is that advertisers are not willing to pay as much. So it could be the difference. Let's say if I don't have that data where they pay $6, whereas if I did have that data, they might pay $25. Whereas right now, the deals I do that's not automated, they are getting $25 CPM already anyway. So they just don't sell as much inventory. A lot of inventory is left on the counter. So the IAB's got a challenge, and we'll see where it leads. And I'll see if I can find out more info, too. There's an article on Gizmodo. I kind of read through this. Some guy bragging about having TV. He's paying cable. He's happy to pay for cable. And I don't begrudge anyone for paying cable. If they want to pay for cable, great. Go ahead and do it. I just think we're moving into an age where a lot of people are not. And the numbers are proving it out for sure. Okay. Woz is saying that Steve Jobs' legacy will probably be known for his products and also his negative personality. And I thought that was a pretty strong statement by Woz. So this new movie, When America Gets to Witness Seth Rogen as Woz, in preparation for the Steve Jobs theater release on October 23rd, Woz has been doing a lot of publicity for the film, including making this featurette that just opposes his real-life commentary with snippets from the movie, and I'll leave it up for you to, you guys can play it. I understand there's a lot of negativity with this particular movie. The widow of Steve Jobs did not want it released, but you know, he was an influential character in our society, and you know, look what he brought us. He really changed fundamentally a lot of things in the digital world. So I'm excited to watch it, and I'll have to be objective in watching the movie and understand that maybe they had a little bit of a negative agenda. All right, Nevada regulators ruled Daily Fantasy as a gambling order site to shut down in the state. I've been wondering how long before the hammer would fall on this. But the Nevada Gaming Control offered perhaps the most significant reboot of Daily Fantasy sports operators today in a month full of them finding that Daily Fantasy sports constitutes gambling. The Gaming Control Board wrote that because Daily Fantasy sports involves wagering on the collective performance of individuals participating in sporting events, Daily Fantasy sites must obtain licensing from the Nevada Gaming Commission to continue operating. This presents a huge problem for DraftKings, FanDuel, and other Daily Fantasy operators. So I've been wondering how these folks have been able to operate as they were. I kind of thought, isn't it gambling, and is that not illegal? Jack, you're going to love this. And I don't think I'd want to have been on the airplane if this happened to, but I understand it probably wasn't a big deal. But jet's taken off, and the engine cowling flips up and rips off. Some mech forgot to flap. They basically attached the latch properly, but they went airborne. They were already at rotate speed when it went off, but no details on what happened, but kind of an interesting 21-second video I'll have in the show notes. Finally, AMD quarter three revenue beats despite steep decline, but they have a big earnings miss. So they marked a net loss of $197 million or 25 cents per share. Non-GAAP earnings were a loss of 17 cents per share on revenue of $1.06 billion, down 26% year over year. So this is horrible. Wall Street was expecting AMD to post a net loss of 12 cents per share on revenue of $996 million. They are probably going to get hammered tomorrow in the stock market. So if you own AMD, hold on to your hats tomorrow. It's going to be rough. Just predict they're going to get beat up pretty bad on this really beyond missed earnings, missed loss quotations. All right, I am at the end of the show. I made it. Can't believe it. I made it on time. But I do have a couple of emails that came in that I need to ask you folks about. And let's see, we did the last show on the 12th. So I'm going to start off with a email from Jack. Say, hey, Todd, I ran across this product on Kickstarter that will display video from four devices on one monitor. The individual screens can be size as you see fit. I thought of you and how you might use this in your video setup. The website talks about it and has a link to the Kickstarter if you or other GNC multi-monitor geeks are interested. So it's at screens, screens.com. Thanks for that find, Jack. I do appreciate it. I got an email from Nadia. She said, "Hey, Todd, recently Windows released an update that ended up attacking its users. This raised concerns that Windows update has been compromised. Luckily, in this instance, Windows confirmed that it has not been hacked and it was an error on their end, but many users may still be concerned what to do in case their computers have been hacked or compromised in any way." So this listener goes on to talk about a book called The Florentine Deception and talks about these issues head on. So Nadia, I don't know if you're a publicist or if you actually listen to the show, but if anyone on the Ohana has read The Florentine, Deception, geez, I just hit my nose on the mic, drop me a line and we'll see if we can give a little more validity to this email. But Nadia has never emailed the show before, so I was a little suspect on it. But one of our listeners who is a regular here did write us. He says, "Hey, Todd," and this comes from MS Small Biz. "I think everyone believes the federal government just gave up on demanding backdoor access to encrypted data because creating such access was bad for the tech vendors is probably living in a dream world. I have no doubts in my mind that if the government gave up on this request, it tells us that they've already have the access they need." I didn't even read your email before the show tonight. So, wow. Okay, we're on the same page then now. "Does anyone truly believe the government's given up on antitrust violations because Apple, Microsoft, and Google have not broken any antitrust laws? Or is it more likely these companies have struck a deal? Don't come after us, and we'll make it easy for you to access anything you need," quote unquote. "As to FISA, that isn't required and is only supposed to be used in cases where making the request public would cause a national security issue. Instead, we have seen multiple cases where the government has used the 1789 All Writs Act to have courts force Apple and other into assisting the government in breaking the phones. There is a new write-up on this on the use of this act here at motherboard.vice.com. So I'll have that link up in the show notes to vice.com. Just, you know, those of you also, if we have millennials that listen to the show, you do know Vice is owned by Viacom. Vice is not those a necessarily independent hipster website. It is a website that's owned by a big, big media company. Matter of fact, with ties to CBS. So just be aware if you're over on Vice.com and you're, "Oh man, these guys are so cool," they're owned by Viacom. Or they're at least their most major investor is Viacom, owning a huge percentage of their show. All right, Bree, one of our longtime Ohana members, sent me this. She says, "Todd, do you think this is snake oil?" So it's a link to a website, simpleoffgridsystem.net. And it basically says, "See why Tesla was stabbed in the back over this endless energy secret. Does saving money every month on electricity sound too good to be true? With electricity costs skyrocketing in the United States, it certainly sounded that way for Tom." So, okay, so Bree, I haven't watched the video, and so I can't respond on whether or not this is the real deal or not. And I'm pretty sure you sent this to me directly. So let me load this and see what it is. Anytime it's that, you know, that's kind of got that come on language. And it's one of those, it's one of those sites that it makes me kind of smell that it's some scam and they're trying to get $199.95 out of me. So it might be a scam. But simpleoffgridsystem.net. If it was that good, we'd have heard about it in the national news. But so I'll have this in the show notes and we'll let the Ohana weigh in. It looks safe enough. The website didn't get any warnings when I loaded it. All right, that's going to bring me to the end. So how many of you did I make mad tonight talking about the presidential candidate, Secretary of State, ex parte hey, Hillary Clinton. Anyway, again, not political, just laying it down about the double standard that there is in this country. And love to hear your thoughts. And I hope you guys email me. Please, 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 let's keep the commentary as much non-political as we can. Let's stick to the facts. And if you want to bring out other examples like Colin Powell and stuff like that, people that haven't gotten prosecuted in the past, that's fine. Again, I'm an equal opportunity a basher here. If it's needed, it's needed. And, you know, there's probably other cases, but at the same time, the average Joe that is made a mistake or done something they weren't supposed to, they're in jail if they have gotten caught. And don't doubt yourself for a New York minute that if Edward Snowden didn't come back to the United States, they wouldn't stick him in a dark hole someplace. It's my absolute almost guarantee that that is what would happen. And the only way he's going to get out of it is if some president that gets elected says you can come home and we won't prosecute you. That's the only way I believe that's going to happen. But anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. We'll be back with a regular show on Monday here in the studio. My pleasure to bring you the podcast. I hope you had a great time. I had a great time doing it for you this evening. Enjoy your weekend out there. Be safe. And yes, I am going to enjoy a cigar and probably an Oban 18 tomorrow night. Just one and maybe one snifferful and let the world kind of go on by. So everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.